The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's never the underdog.
Yes, sir.
It's never the underdog.
Yes, sir.
Final four now.
What's up, Duke fans? Welcome to the Devil's Den podcast. I'm your host, Josh Smith, joined by my co-host, Raul and Shu. Going to do a little bit of a recap here. So Friday night, Duke kicked off their season with the annual countdown to craziness. Fortunately for us, Raul and Shu happened to be there. They got to sit on press row. Pretty cool experience. Shout out to John Watson and Adam Rowe at the Devil's Den for that. So going to get their impressions, being kind of on the floor of the scenery, the fans, a lot of recruits in attendance, some committed, some still on the horizon. So I guess let me run through those right quick. So guys that we have in the bag, you got Isaiah Evans, you got Con Knipple, you got Darren Harris were there. Also some recruits in attendance, VJ Edgecombe, Patrick Ngamba, Nate Amint, not as familiar with him. So maybe the guys can give us a little bit on that. And I think the big one here, number one overall recruit, Cooper Flagg was in attendance. If you were watching live, you probably saw at some point, almost all of those guys, I think, went and joined the crazies there. So seemed like a pretty good atmosphere. Going to get the guys' thoughts. They also got to go into the locker room, had some media availability with Coach Shire and the players. So we'll try to put some clips in for you from some of the stuff that they were able to gather from that. But let's kind of jump right in here. So just first off, for you two, being on press row, first time doing that, walk us through a little bit of what the experience was like, what the pregame was leading up into it, and then talk to us, like, how close are the crazies to you, really? Shu, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, I mean, first off, just try not to make yourself look like an idiot, you know, first and foremost.
We did that a couple times, but
yeah, yeah. Where were you on that one, jackass, you know, kind of thing. we tried to just kind of fit in. Stood there on really the sideline, kind of in front of press row for the first couple minutes, and then took our seat, which by that time the crazies already packed in. I mean, what do you think, Ro? You got like maybe a foot and a half between where they're standing and
back. It's pretty kind of dicey, squeezing between some people who were already sitting there was a little tight.
Yeah. So I definitely I didn't get hit like, you know, punched like Flip had been punched, but I got hit in the head a couple times from the crazies, you know, but that's fine. I'll take a concussion for a good night.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go. I guess too, you know, it's there's not a whole lot of like the intimidation factor, right? Because they're cheering for both sides here. So maybe, right, you know, shirt stays clean, don't get the paint sweat to drip down on you and all that good stuff.
Well, the guys behind us were actually, it was pretty funny. They were just like really actively cheering for the blue team and getting on the refs for every call. So I enjoyed that.
That is pretty cool. Yeah, yeah. They should do that. I don't know if they actually coordinate that or not, but they should kind of have like a little split for the underdog, sections.
Yeah, for, because if not, then you're it kind of nulls like the you know, the suspense in the crowd, because there's a defensive stop, but you're cheering for, you know,
the
it's
offense
all dude,
to go.
Right.
To. Yeah.
It's just a different vibe when it's an inner squad scrimmage.
About that, was it difficult being a fan? And so you're on press row, so there's a little giddy nature to being that close to Cameron, but then having to like, obviously, if you're on press row, you kind of have to have this like ultimate neutrality, right? You can't wear the Duke swag. You can't really get up and do any of that stuff. Did you find that you had to catch yourself at any point, or were you kind of so locked into just sitting there that it wasn't a problem for you?
No, I mean, definitely Proctor had that kind of little step back juke move where he threw the one-handed pass. And I just kind of looked at, you know, turned my head real quick and looked at Raul so I didn't like clap or make any noise. I was like, you know? And then Flip's little one-handed baseline monster jam. You know, I can't imagine how it would have been sitting on press row like during the Zion team. You know, it would have been really hard to contain. Wow. Myself for that, but this being an inter squad scrimmage, I think it was a little bit easier to just kind of like, all
sure,
right, play
right.
cool, you know, lay low.
I think the one that got me was the Stewart coast to coast take, and then he botched that layup.
Yep.
And under my breath, I was just like, damn it. And then I realized, you know, I just kind of came to and remember what I was supposed to be doing. I cannot imagine, I'm sure you get used to it if you go to 50 games or whatever, but trying to do that for like last year's Duke Carolina game or something would have been impossible.
Right.
Definitely this was probably unique and good that it was like your first experience because it's kind of just Duke playing Duke, right? It's not like you're in there for an ACC game or something like that. What about getting into the locker room and getting kind of that next level pass to kind of go in there and check things out? You a little starstruck walking in there? Do you find yourself just kind of gazing around, or was it like, what was the scene and the vibe, I guess, in the locker room?
Well, so, we got lost, first of all. Nice. Yeah. That was fun. So we got in there maybe like 4 minutes late, but Mike DeGeorge like helped us out and kind of guided us back there. So that was nice.
Yeah, we saw everybody. So after the game ended, we went to the Bill Brill media room. You know, you kind of gather there and then they're going to lead everybody into the locker room. So we saw the guys, you know, walking in out of the room and going to the locker room. And we got in the hallway there and nobody was around. And I think...
There's two doors that say men's locker room. Yeah. So we were like looking in the wrong one.
Yeah.
What were you saying about Coach K's daughter?
She was standing there. She's the one that, you know, I was like, hey, you know, they opened the locker room. She's like, I don't know what's going on. I was like, well, we know, you know what's going on, but you know. So finally I think Mike come out, was like, can I help you guys? We're like, yeah, we're trying to get in the locker room. So he led us over there. And by that time we were a couple minutes late to the party. So on top of that question, yeah, I mean, I had, you know, my ride from here to Durham, you know, prepared 20 questions in my mind. And then I got in there and maybe got one or two of them out. Most of the time it was just chit-chatting with Tyrese just to hear his accent, or talking to Mark, you know, some of the guys about the Drake concert that I also went to. So stuff like that.
Nice. I'll say that he got a couple good laughs out of them, so. You know,
I did get a good laugh out of Jeremy talking to they had him and Ryan. You know, I was like, oh, the older guys over here in the corner. I was like, is this Ben Gay I smell over here?
Yeah, no, that's cool. That's cool. What are your thoughts about the actual locker room itself? Any kind of aesthetic takeaways? Is it just a standard typical locker room, or was it pretty
decked
out?
It's impressive. I mean, I don't know if you guys have noticed, they've redone it. You know, it used to be that kind of all wood grain, kind of classy vibe. Now it's like kind of modern. It's all white. It felt like you're like in a, I don't know, like an IKEA showroom almost. Like everything's real sleek and modern, but definitely, you know, like a cool vibe.
Okay.
It may have just been because I had a long sleeve shirt on, but man, it was hot in there. I know it's hot everywhere in Cameron, but I can't imagine playing a full game and then coming and sitting in an 80-degree locker room.
Yeah. Yeah, especially like those heated halftime speeches, right? Especially like the ones I've heard from back in the day about Coach K. So All right, let's kind of jump in a little bit. We'll kind of fast forward through a lot of the CTC stuff, and we'll start with the basketball stuff here, what's relevant to us. Pretty impressive kind of intro with the whole video that they did for the team. Unfortunately, if you were like me watching it from home, the kind of screen just stayed there, which really kind of sucked. A lot of drones flying around and stuff. I'm sure that's probably, you know, credit to Dave and some of his work doing that.
Yeah, they got some footage coming.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be some.
Dave said it's pretty fire. So,
yeah, I bet. Yeah, I'm looking out for that. Talk to me a little bit about player intro. So, usually every year, there's at least kind of like one or two that kind of stand out. Anything from y'all that really kind of piqued your interest in terms of like maybe a little bit unusual or somebody went against the grain?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, I think I put it on Twitter over under. I set for Drake intros at like 3.5, especially with the new album. Caleb Foster came right off the bat to first person shooter, which, I mean, he wears number one. So he kind of did something that is along that lines. Christian Reeves did a 21 Savage, obviously, wears 21. So he's kind of doing, you know, the 21 thing. But TJ, that was my pick. I mean, Return of the Mac. I think we've had somebody do that before, but TJ kind of surprised me. I didn't know he was coming with that, and even threw a little dance move with it. So I asked him about that in the locker room later on. We'll probably play that, or maybe now.
Yeah, I can play the clip right now, actually.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
All right, TJ, Return of the Mac. Maybe one of my favorite selections in CTC. I enjoy that a lot.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Have you had that, were you thinking about that the whole time, or was that a game time decision?
I think people who know me know I'm like a big throwback R&B guy, yeah? So okay. I was just trying to find something that was popular enough for the crowd to get into and something I could move to. I thought I had a good choice.
You did a great job.
Executed it pretty well, but it was fun. It was really fun.
Perfect. Play well out there, too.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that probably came out. So I don't really know, and I'll have to look, but I'm thinking that probably came out a good, 10 years or so before TJ was even born?
Oh, for sure.
This Mark Morrison, 96.
Yeah, I just looked at the numbers, 96, yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, I was in sixth grade, so yeah, he's not even close.
Yeah, and I do want to say that I feel like somebody else played that like within the last couple years or so.
Might have been Jack White, to be honest, if I remember. I'd have to go back and really look. I think it might have been Jack White, though.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. Did he do Land Down Under 1 year or something?
He did. He did do that. All right. Yeah.
So, but I can totally see him having done something like that too.
Yeah. And I think I didn't see all of them. I know last year what Stanley came out with the sax. What'd he do this year?
He sang, but he was really kind of singing quietly while somebody who was a better singer sang. But it was still funny.
Okay.
Yeah. A little awkward. This one was at CeeLo, Forget You.
Oh yeah, yeah, right, yeah. Right, yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay.
That's a kind of interesting because it's like when you think about those lyrics, you're like, is that really? I mean, well, at least they did the clean version.
They
did
the edit version, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I did see where Flip kind of like didn't really get into it too. Like he came out, did his little thing, and then just kind of ran back right over.
He had a different shirt on too. He had his own like two hip flip shirt on. I don't know if you noticed
that's
that.
Right. That's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, all right. Like shades or something too.
Yeah.
Some pretty cool intros. Usually, you know
McCain was going to hit a TikTok dance. You know, he did that. Obviously.
Yeah. He was out there for a while, wasn't he?
Yeah.
All right, let's jump into the scrimmage. So I'll just kind of run through like the starting lineups here briefly for each team. So the white team consisted of Flip, Proctor, Roach, Blakes, Reeves, and Power. Blue team had Foster, McCain, Mitchell, Young, Stewart, and Shute. A little bit of a unbalanced kind of roster, I guess, when you look at kind of young versus old in different areas. So, you know, we'll get in there and talk about that a little bit. But first, just for you all being on the floor, who stood out to you? Or maybe there's a couple guys here, but give me your standout players. Roel, I'll go to you first for this one.
I think the biggest one was Christian Reeves yet again. Yeah. It's kind of hard to describe when you see him in person just how big he is. I mean, he towers over Young and Flip, just like looks a good 2 or 3 inches taller, and he's just like huge just all around. And he had, even when he wasn't grabbing offensive rebounds, he was getting, you know, his hand on every loose ball. He was just a huge target in the pick and roll. The guards were just able to hit him really easily. And when he did catch it, he kind of kept it up high. You know, he had a couple bunnies that he missed, but overall, just really great performance from him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Christian stood out to me as well. But I think coming in, you know, looking at the lineups rolling, I thought that the white team had an advantage right off the bat. Jeremy obviously played really well. He's, you know, this is his fourth one, so he's obviously not nervous. I think Raul and I kind of mentioned, like, you know, he's the veteran here, so he's not got the same kind of pressure that maybe McCain and Foster and some of these other guys probably played with.
Sure. And, you know, I want to just take a second, because I've been, maybe not so much me, but I think maybe just media and a little bit from this podcast as well, was a little questionable about Roach, you know, in terms of just like what he's going to do with this team and the fit. I thought he was great in this, like just from the jump, like, and not just because he was making shots, but of like where he was at. Like, he was in the corner several times. He was running baseline a few times. When he got the ball, if it wasn't there, he was giving it right back to Tyrese to reset. And like, just seeing that is what I want.
Well, just like last year, how we thought, you know, Jake was going to kind of be a corner 3-point specialist, which he was, you know, not, but he didn't shoot as many as I would.
Was it for us? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think if Jeremy, you know, takes over that role, he hit three of them all, at least two of them were deep corners. And I think one was, you know, more in front of the bench, but all three of his shots came almost from the corner.
He looks confident too, man, with that shot. Like, you could just kind of tell some of those were going in just by the way he released them. He had a nice kind of swagger to him, I thought. In general, my takeaway was just that him and Proctor, you know, it's just a scrimmage, so who knows what things will look like in February. But right now, I think they're ahead of the other two guards.
Yeah. And I wonder too, and I'm curious to hear y'all's take on this, like being on the floor and seeing it. Does blue team look that good as well if you just throw Proctor on it? Because to me, it was just like whatever he was doing, like those pocket passes, the offense just seemed to thrive on this is going to be the catalyst. And if he gets you the ball in a pocket, look to score quickly. Like, it didn't really matter who it was, right? Like, he was finding Roach, he was looking to score quickly. Finding Flip, looking to score. Finding Reeves, looking to go up. That's a tough matchup for Caleb and Jared coming in their first one to go up against Proctor and Roach. I kind of wish they would have, like, maybe done Proctor and McCain, well, or
I'm pretty
some
sure,
combination.
Blake's picked up. Foster was playing the point for the blue team, and Blake's was, I mean, because Raul and I mentioned it, like, it's almost creepy how, like, focused in Jalen's eyes are when he's locked in guarding the ball.
I mean, he's running through Ryan Young in a screen in a scrimmage game here, right? Like,
yeah, you can't really see it on TV. He's just like, his eyes are like demonic or something. It's crazy.
Yeah. Man possessed. Right.
Yeah. And so he made life hard for Caleb right off the gate, you know, out of the gate. Cause he's obviously one of our better on ball defenders with that length.
Sure.
The wingspan he's got.
Yeah. It was weird. It's like, did they want to kind of test out the freshmen or what? You know, what's the reason for the unbalanced rosters? I know we can talk about that a little bit more in a second, but just didn't the same thing kind of happen last year, if I remember correctly, maybe even the last couple, where it was just like kind of over pretty soon because it was like 33-18 was the score of this one. I think it was something similar last year.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know when they went away from doing like two halves, like too many halves, to just like, we're doing 10 minutes and this is just all that there is. Not a huge fan of that. You know, I remember, I don't want to get too old head here, right? But they used to have like dunk contest and play two halves and like really made it a thing.
It might switch some of the players.
And they would switch some of the rosters around. I do think if you're only doing one.
This was a 16 minute scrimmage. And look, I wasn't there last year, but they threw in the 8-minute women's scrimmage this year too.
Right. Which I think that's why they cut down the men's one by four minutes.
Yep.
That makes sense. And I'm not opposed to that either, right? Like, they can make both a little bit longer if they like. That's what most people are really coming from. But I get it. It's technically a pep rally almost, right? With just an inaugural welcome to the season thing. You know, which is fine. But I thought, you know, like y'all, the white team pretty much set the tone like really quickly in terms of what they were doing. Let's talk a little bit about just kind of Flip, right? So Two Hit Flip comes out pretty passive for the most part. Had some great high low stuff, like not really looking to kind of for a shot that much. You know, I had a few kind of, you know, the flip drives from the perimeter that's going to get the handle a little shaky. Mark had one or two of those early. Both guys settled in fine. you know, didn't make a ton of threes in this one, but then towards the end has like maybe one of the most impressive dunks from a guy that size that we've seen. When he hits that dunk and turns, I think he's looking at both of y'all, right? Yeah. So let's start there. Flip comes through, hammers the dunk, looks at the crowd. Where are y'all at right there? Shu, I'll go to you first.
Yeah, I mean, that was the one that I definitely had to, you know, contain myself from, because I mean, he was excited. Yeah, he was excited. Obviously, everybody went crazy in there. I don't know if I've mentioned it, but Cooper's older and twin brother were literally standing right behind. Like, they came when they came and joined the crazies. Like, I scooted over so they could jump in and get right behind me, and they were excited about that too. So, yeah. I mean, obviously the whole crowd went nuts for that.
Yeah, I'd have to rewatch it. There was definitely some sort of defensive miscue or something that happened there, because the lane was just completely wide open for him. Mm-hmm.
Sean got there late.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That was kind of a welcome to college moment for him, right? But yeah, I loved the celebration from him. And it was definitely tough not to react. I'm actually surprised, because I've seen a few photos where you can see me there, and I'm surprised that I'm just like staring straight ahead. So
I'm
impressed with my self-control there.
Yeah, it was pretty cool seeing y'all too on the TV, because I could see, I was watching my wife and like my daughter and stuff, and I was like, oh, there they are. You know, so that was pretty cool. It did seem though, like, I think there was a defensive miscue, but I thought just from watching it that there was a big emphasis on just really bringing that lane out, right? Like that, even a lot of the stuff that we were doing, that lane's really open. I don't know, again, y'all are watching it live, and I just know when I watch games live, it's hard to really kind of pick apart what we're doing. I didn't know if y'all noticed it, but there's a lot of big initiation. Like, if Proctor wasn't like the catalyst in trying to like drive the play, even Reeves, Young, Flip, a lot of those guys were coming up real, not really the double horns, but it was some other kind of, like, you know, whatever you want to call it, a lot of big initiation up top. Go ahead, bro.
I was just gonna say, Flip had those two great passes early. I can't remember exactly what the result was. I know Reeves at least scored one on, both of them, maybe.
I think he did score on both of them.
Dunk on one of them, yeah.
Yeah. One was a little lob, like, from the side, and the other one was just like a, you know, he's just like, dude, you're just too small, right? I'm just throwing it up there, and he just kind of does the little, Reeves looked great again. And so I think
scrimmage monster.
Yeah, he's like our countdown kind of goat over here. It's hard watching it though this year, and knowing that, like, last year you watched it and you're like, okay, this guy's a freshman, and you have like the real version of you playing in front of you and Lively, right? But now it's like, dude, nobody on the roster does what you do at that size, right? Of just being that big target down there. It's hard to see where this guy might not can crack the rotation, you know? I mean,
he might be as good an offensive rebounder as Ryan Young, and he has good hands like Young, but he's probably going to be able to protect the rim better. So, you know, I know Young is not going to pitch a fit if Reeves gets a few of his minutes. So, I mean, I'm not saying throw him in there for 25 minutes a game or anything, but I'd like to see him
5, 6, 8, 10
yeah,
minutes.
Right. Yeah, right. Exactly.
And just don't worry about fouls, right? Because you know his foul rate's probably going to be high in a real game, right? And so it's just like, you give him those couple minute bursts to just give you a different look.
And I'm not talking like 5 minutes every third game and the rest are DNPs. I just mean like a consistent 5 minutes.
Yeah. Like, your role is like, you know, in the half, beginning of, or like after TV timeout or whatever it is, to come in and to give us a different look. Yeah, I mean, you know, he looked great. Really, you know, another thing too, and we've had Goodman on, we've had other guys on that were very high on TJ, and then that kind of slacked off. I thought TJ looked fine out there. Yeah. You know, he took the shots he needed to take. He made a couple of them. Defense is going to be a little tough when he's guarding a Foster, right? If he gets on a McCain or a Foster, that's going to be a little bit tough for him. But I thought he looked okay. I thought Mark Mitchell, first drive of the game was not good, but then he had a few really nice crafty finishes in there. Would have liked to see him be a bit more aggressive, probably playing on that blue team, but you know,
what impressed me with him, even on the couple misses he had, is just how physical he is on his drives. That's something that really pops up close. It's like, he probably got fouled on every single one of those drives. Yeah. He was taking a lot of contact, and they weren't calling it
a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah. What about pace? That's something that we've heard about all season. Now, in this game, you don't look too closely at it because they're short bench, right? I think both teams are playing like six guys. Maybe they went seven deep. So you're not going to like really get out and run. But I did notice that like in the half court, it seemed to be an emphasis on trying to be quick, right? On trying to really be crisp on where we're getting. And if this is where the action is, then just hit it and go. Did y'all see anything in terms of that, especially Jeremy for me? Because that's the guy I've talked about of, you know, kind of likes to slow it down a little bit. And he did at times. But when the game started, he was moving pretty quick. Like the ball was moving quick. We were taking a lot of early threes. I think Shoot made one or two. We had TJ make one early. Proctor was taking some. Obviously, Roach knocked down three. Did you see anything in terms of pace that might say, okay, this team is going to definitely play faster than last year? Or is that still kind of a wait and see?
No, I mean, I think the biggest example is what Roel hit on earlier with Sean Stewart grabbing a rebound and going coast to coast.
That was really nice. The Euro, too.
Just went
a little fancy with it.
Yeah,
it
didn't flambé it enough with the spin, you know?
Yeah, go left hand maybe there.
Yeah, you know? But
I felt bad for him because it was like he had so many plays that were like close to being something awesome.
Yeah.
And then
played
just
played his ass off. Yeah.
You can see the potential there. It feels like he's going to be a lottery pick, but in like 3 years. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Because I think he went up and blocked Reeves. Reeves like missed it, got the offensive rebound, but then Stewart went back up and contested, played really hard. He's just in a weird spot because until he really, the skill level meets the body, he's in that tweener in all the wrong ways kind of sometimes, you know? It's like
one thing I will bring up for him is, you know, we got to see them shooting around a little bit before the scrimmage started. And I think Shue was watching the other end of the court, but I watched Stewart hit five wing threes in a row. So that's something, you know, and the form looks good, but the release is a little slow. So I just don't know how practical it's going to be in a game. But on the other hand, he could be wide open on those.
Yeah. And he didn't struggle. He didn't like hesitate to shoot. He even shot the one kind of like, you know, short corner mid range over there, which was fine. It's a fine shot for him to take. You almost have to take it. I guess we can kind of talk about the bad a little bit here. I've mentioned it kind of briefly. Players that struggled might be a little strong, but I thought, you know, again, at the freshman guards, it looked like just really kind of took a little bit to get there. You mentioned Blake's on Foster. That might be a tough matchup. Welcome to college, kid, right? You know, he's taken some of those, lot of floaters, kind of took like a push floater leaning three, and you're just not going to get that call probably at this stage.
Yeah, that was a dumb play, honestly.
That was bad, you know. I think for him, though, with the space that we can have, he looked good later in the game, like getting in the lane, especially that little, was it like a wraparound or a dump down that he had to Young earlier?
That was the very first play. Yeah,
that was nice. What about McCain for y'all? Like, what did you see? Like, for me, I was hearing a lot of people say he didn't play well. For me, he just missed some shots. Like, a lot of those were open shots, the threes particularly. But did you see anything that concerns you in terms of just size, speed of the game? Or do you think it's just, it's his first time playing in Cameron, you're going against Proctor and Roach, tough matchup, kid? Like, what did y'all make of that?
I thought he was struggling a little bit with the physicality. Mm-hmm. That was my biggest observation there. Even on that one mid-range shot he made, that was like really contested. And
yeah, it was a tough shot.
Yeah, there was a lot of, even on that one, it looked like he was kind of bumped off his spot. So that was my biggest observation with him was just, I just think he needs to get a little bit stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not really, to be honest, worried about it. I think, again, the nerves and everything would play in your first game in Cameron. He just didn't shoot the ball well. And agree with the physicality. I mean, I think the one time he got in the lane, Reeves might have blocked the hell out of it. He was trying to call for a goaltend.
Yeah.
I mean, he threw it down from low and Reeves smacked it off the backboard. So
Yeah, he wouldn't get that.
You can't do that. You know, you can't get in the lane with around seven foot two monsters and throw a shot put up.
I also thought he struggled a little bit when he was guarding Roach. And that's kind of like a little bit what allowed Roach to get off.
Yep.
Yeah, so, sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. For the most part, though, I thought that everyone played kind of about how you would expect it to be in this sort of environment, right? I think for me, and I've been a Proctor homer since we started recruiting the kid, but I my takeaway from this was just being even more excited to just watch what he's going to do. I mean, those, some of those pocket passes.
What about the handles? We haven't mentioned that.
He had
some shake and bakes. Yeah.
Probing, like, and just the, like, he didn't make them, but like he had one or two just like quick trigger threes that like, I'm all in on that. Like
we had the backdoor cut that, who hit him with that pass? Was that TJ? Hit him with the back door
and he hammered it.
So, yeah. You know, I didn't see, not that he didn't show off like a level of athleticism last year, but like a lot of times when he got into the paint, he finished with that kind of like finger roll, real high, like arcing finger roll layup. Whereas, you know, this one he threw a nice little hammer dunk.
You don't have, I mean, you know, we talked about Reeves, but you don't have Lively there to just like get it up on the glass. It's like, no, if you're going in there now, bro, it's going to finish.
Yeah.
Right? Like you're attacking to finish.
How many times did he even dunk last year? Can't have been more than like three.
He had the one on Tennessee, right? Like he played really good against Tennessee. Yeah. But yeah, other than that, not a ton.
Yeah.
Not a ton, which is, you know, that's always been a weird thing for me at Duke specifically, because we've had guys come in, like how many dunks did Austin Rivers have at Duke? Like two or three?
Dude's
like windmilling and Winter Park. Like it was not an issue for him to be able to get up. So maybe just some weirdness going on there too.
I mean, before we go, Dre, you remember when we interviewed Andre Dawkins, he talked about how hard it is to dunk in game and how it's just a completely different thing than doing in the layup line.
The timing and everything else. Yeah.
And your legs are already tired because you've been running up and down the court and all that.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Before we kind of do, I know we got some media stuff we're going to jump into, but just real quickly, since there were so many recruits, there was a big high profile visit. Obviously, we know, I don't want to disrespect the other guys. I mean, those guys are five stars, you know, top 10, top 15. But I think it's safe to say that Cooper's viewed just a bit differently nationally in terms of what he's doing. What was your thoughts just kind of on the crowd recruit interactions? Obviously, coach going over to sit with them was like, you know, you just, it's hard to fathom that obviously Kay's not doing something like that. Right. So for John to go over and do that, I thought that was really cool. Just a little bit of y'all's thoughts on just kind of the crowd recruit interactions and like, you know, what you made of that?
Yeah. So I could see the Flag family, like almost, you know, we were mid court, so they were directly across from us. Mom and pop, even the grandparents are there, you know, then they were kind of seated while the women's scrimmage was going on. And then after that ended, before the guys come out, you know, the all the recruits came out. And so again, he had Ace and Hunter Flag with him. So basically the whole Flag family. Did see Mom Flag. She donned the devil horns for a little while, and she was singing along to some Bon Jovi. So they seemed to be enjoying themselves.
Wasn't his brother really into it?
Yeah, his brother. I mean, yeah, Hunter, his older brother. Yeah, he was. I got some good pics on my phone. He was, like I said, he was standing right behind me. Really, really into it.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully he feels the same way his family does, because he's a little bit more impassive. You know, he doesn't like show a lot of emotion.
Very reserved. But he did go over there and hold the baby up. So that was kind of like, okay, you know, let's get into it a little bit. I did think it was very smart, cool, tactful, whatever, to call his family over as well, right?
Yeah.
Call the brothers, like, yo, come join. Y'all are brotherhood. Come join the real one, right? Yeah. Like, hey, let's get this going.
I started to feel a little bit bad for certain recruits. It's like you could tell the level of importance, right? Where it like took a while to get to certain people.
Yeah. Well, how many were
Dylan Harris even get called over? And he's like already committed.
He came over.
Darren, I think Khan was the last one that came over.
It's like these are the guys who are already committed to the team. I understand tactically, it's like you're trying to. I mean, the crazy are essentially trying to recruit. You know, whether we can
and you
admit
think
that
about
or not,
this too. This is the guy's first game. This is the Crazy's first game this year, too. So they're not in, you know, super, you know, midseason form.
I don't know off the top of my head, but how many of those recruits were on their official visit? Like, I know
Cooper, VJ, and Patrick.
They were all official visits.
They were all three OGs.
Okay.
And
so that's
I don't know about Nate Amint, if his was an official. And then obviously the committed guys, I'm not sure if that counts as an official visit or what that.
Yeah, they've probably already taken there. Yeah, I would think that. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I just wanted to get some interactions on that. But let's take a quick little break here. We'll come back and kind of dissect some of the media stuff, and we'll play some clips and some audio for you guys.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
All right, let's jump back in here. So obviously, like we mentioned on the top half, Roland Shue were able to kind of sit in on coach's press conference, get into the locker room. So we have a few clips and some stuff we wanted to kind of discuss here. Roland, I'll toss this section to you so you can kind of lead us in wherever we want to go here and whatever clip you got first. I think we're going to start with Coach Shire's press conference here.
Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to start with his comments on his extension. Because I think you mentioned that at the top, but that's kind of the big news of the day, right? You know, he's extended through 28, 29. I saw on Twitter it was calling it a 6-year extension, but that doesn't really make sense to me because that would mean his contract was up this year. And I don't think that was the case. So, but the point is that he's hired through 6 years from now, whatever you want to call it. Here's his statements on that.
And so I've had discussions with Nina for some time. And, you know, just to get that done, and I think it's great. It's important. I'm committed to Duke, to know that they're committed to me as well. And our staff, the job we've done is great. You know, I'm thankful to President Price, thankful to Nina. And I did not plan that, by the way. Did you hear me talking about you? But it's a great thing. And, you know, just... Look, tonight's about the team, and I was a little bit emotional just watching them out there because what happens is we have 12 guys on scholarship. All 12 of them were being recruited by other places. They could have gone pro. They could have done other things. And I told the crowd they're committed to Duke, and I think hopefully everybody in this room knows I'm committed to Duke too. And so that's been something for me, just seeing the crowd tonight, seeing the support. It's been such a special thing, but it's an honor for me to be the coach, and I'll never take that for granted.
So yeah, that funny part in the middle there, I guess we should explain. That was Nina coming in the side door of the media room at the second he said, "I'm thankful to Nina." So I think Shue got that on camera. It was pretty funny.
Nice. Yeah. Coincidence that this happens when Cooper's on his OV. I'll just leave that out there. You know, maybe not. Probably nothing to do with that, right? Obviously, it was well deserved. Good to see him get that. Just where you're not having to worry about it. You don't have to ask or answer questions about that anymore, right? Like he's locked in. What did y'all kind of take away from it, just being there in real time?
I mean, I thought it was interesting that he kind of you didn't hear the very beginning of that clip, but even at the beginning, like he kind of deflected and made it not about his contract extension. He made it more about like how special a place Duke is and just being kind of happy for the players and all that stuff. So I thought that was kind of a classy way to handle it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't got anything to add on that.
No comment. No comment.
Can we get you off the record?
Yeah, off the record.
Shue thinks it's a big mistake.
Yeah, what are we doing, guys? I mean, this guy...
He's in over his head, right?
I mean, he showed enough last year, honestly. I mean, like, to me, like, I just feel like I know we all here on the podcast feel pretty comfortable with what we saw from him, right? And I feel that's
sure. Yeah.
I feel like that's the sentiment of the fan base overall. When we talked to Brendan Marks, he mentioned, he's like, I have no doubt that Shire's the guy. And he clearly was not as high on Hubert Davis being the guy at UNC. So there's a little, sure. You know, so that was a kind of interesting difference there.
Yeah. 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 I don't think there's any question about getting it done, right? Making it, obviously Duke feels the same way. You know, I mean, at this point for me, it's just John is Duke, like how Kay was Duke. I mean, John is now that, right? I mean, and he's been that since 2006, 2007. So it's, especially when the title as a player comes back in 15 as the assistant, gets another one. It seemed like a no-brainer based on what he's done, what he's brought, who he's brought into the program with him as well. So,
And from the little things that we've picked up just from like the social media team, like his interactions, I don't know if you've watched the, like the DBP videos, but his interactions with the players, like it seems like a real player friendly coach, right? Like he's going to ride you, but it's, you know, he's doing the best for you.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. I think now what's the next one? Or I think he was talking a little bit about the guard play. And I think this is the first time or at least for me, that we found out that Flip had a concussion or recently had been dealing with a concussion. So we can hear what he's got to say about that.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up earlier when we were talking about kind of Flip being a little bit passive, but I figured I'd just save it for this quote here. But yeah, he starts by talking about, you know, the kind of the team distribution of the guards and the outcome and all that. So.
Want to split up the teams as evenly as possible. You know, look, White got him tonight, Luke again the next night, but I do think you saw the maturity from Tyrese and Jeremy, the chemistry that they have. They play in front of the lights many times before. Caleb and Jared, man, they have such a bright future. They're tough guards, they're really good. And now it's time to actually play together against somebody else. And so for them, you know, you can have three of them on the court together, you know, maybe even four times. And I just love when you saw that group. You mentioned Jeremy and Tyrese, you know, and Jalen Blake's, the job that he did, and Flip, seeing him out there. He's only been back for about a week. You know, he had a concussion where he wasn't practicing. Then he's still getting back in the flow of things. But I just love seeing him out there finding himself, and of course the job that Christian Reeves did. You know, Christian was great protecting the rim, using his size, finishing inside. Him and Coach Carwell worked really hard consistently, and I think that's paying off.
So, yeah, you know, I had to choose that clip because of the part where he says you could see three guards on the court at the same time, maybe even four. Got a little excited about that.
Yeah, I think, too, maybe I don't want to read too much into it, but the two things that I take away from that is we talked about maybe the team should have been split up a little bit differently. If he's seeing it as they're trying to split it up as evenly as possible, then to me, that means that what Jared and Caleb have been doing this summer puts them into that same category of where maybe Proctor and Roach are. So that's really good. And in a 8-10 minute scrimmage, maybe they just got the better of them. The other part though is when he says you could see three of those guys together, maybe four, I think most of us is like, well, we're definitely seeing three together, right? Like three of them are going to be starting together, but that leaves a little bit of room for maybe not. I don't know. Am I looking at it the other way? Not to bring Roel down here, but am I looking at it like, oh, well, I thought it was like a shoe-in that we were going to see three together. I don't know. Did y'all take that from that? Or do you think that's just maybe I'm getting too into the semantics of language here?
Didn't we discuss that in a previous episode? Like we all kind of thought like it would not be surprising if you saw Flip and Young kind of to start the season.
Yeah.
I don't expect that to be like the full-time lineup for the season, but if he fell back on that just kind of for the opener or the first few games, that would not surprise me.
I mean, Flip started as the four on the scrimmage, right? Because they had Reeves as the five. So
But then about halfway through, they went small. So right. I think we're going to see both probably quite a lot. I don't think it's just going to be an either or thing where it's going to be like all quote unquote small ball or all quote unquote big ball, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Any concern from you all about like, obviously we had some major injury stuff at the beginning of the offseason, but any concern about some of the lingering stuff, like Mark missed a couple of days there, a week or so there, Flip having the concussion, you think this is just getting back into it? We just chalk it up to maybe practices being just kind of heated at this point, or I guess what's the DEFCON level for you guys on that?
I'm not too concerned about it because I think this is actually, you know, when we say this every year, but I feel like this is a deeply talented team. So, you know, if we have to miss somebody for a couple of days, I obviously don't want Proctor being out because I think he's kind of the engine that's going to run this thing. But I mean, Foster and Roach could definitely hold down the fort while he's out. And even McCain, Flip, you don't want to see him miss a lot of time, but Mark can step up. Christian looks playable. So there's not like one person where like we can't have this guy get hurt. I feel like we're kind of covered with a lot of spots.
Yeah, I totally agree. And to add to that, like, I was actually glad to hear about Flip's concussion because he had been out from that scrimmage video and you're kind of like, well, why was that happening? And then he comes back in this scrimmage and he looks a little passive and maybe not quite as good as I expected him to look. Like from those other scrimmages we had seen, he was just dominating. So to hear that at least there was like some kind of like a reason for his passivity, that he was a little bit rusty, you know, and maybe not feeling quite his best. That was like actually a weirdly encouraging thing. You know, a concussion is like, you know, it's not great, but it's not a torn ACL or something.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. For sure. And maybe the most interesting clip of the night or that he talked about is the idea of the Flip Reeves chemistry there. Cause then that leads into Reeves being more than just playable, but that John's looking at like, what do I have here? You know, and like Flip and Derek had a great chemistry, Flip and Ryan have good chemistry. So, you know, again, the two big lineups, but you know, no one is really doing what Reeves can do out there at his size. So let's hear John talk a little bit about that dynamic.
We played last year together, but for this year with Flip coming back, the thing that I've seen is his passing. If he can really pass Christian, you see just he catches the ball and keeps it high. That's been something him and Coach Carroll all work on all the time. And you know, I'm just proud of the growth. You know, so much now is 1 year. And so when you get a guy, like in Christian's case, all right, you have 1 year, you've done some really good things or things you need to build on, to come back to work, to double down. And I just love that. I love the approach of our entire team with doing that.
Yeah, I like the kind of shout out to Flip's passing there because we mentioned it earlier. And that's a big part of his game I think he can unlock. Last year, I thought he could be a little bit of a black hole at times. So, you know, that's kind of why I chose that clip. And then obviously the kind of the reference to the work Reeves has put in kind of backs up what we were observing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially defensively to me. Like that's where like last year when Reeves came in, it seemed like the offense looked fine, right? The ability to catch, the ability to go up and finish. Defensively though, like especially early on, he was pretty much blocking anything that came in there pretty cleanly too, for the most part. So, you know, that obviously tracks pretty well. But before we get out of here, I do think you'll have a few player interviews from the locker room. Specifically, I think we're going to look at Foster and Young. Any kind of preamble that we need to address with that or we need to go into it? I think we're going to go Foster first. I guess that was you over there. What was your kind of experience talking to Caleb?
Well, first off, again, this was, you know, I won't say starstruck, but just like completely nervous. First time doing this, like I had all these things in my head that I thought I was going to ask him about. And I mentioned to Foster, I did get out, you know, I asked him what games he was kind of, you know, circling in his mind. I did get the standard, you know, just the UNC. I was hoping maybe we'd get more into the Baylor game at MSG or the Zona game or something like that. But it really just kind of chit-chatted with the guys, to be honest with you. But yeah, we can play it. We can play it nonetheless. These aren't exactly hard-hitting journalistic questions.
Mm-hmm. You heard me last year with Grandison, so it can't be worse than that.
Foster, I'm from Harrisburg, my hometown too, man. How was your first day out there in front of everybody? It was great. Good time. Yeah. All right. What are you looking forward to? What game are you looking forward to most right now? I know that one at a time, but is there any You circle them like,
you know, that Duke Carolina.
Well, that's a given. Yep. Okay. Yep. Okay.
You know, we're going to take every game the same.
Yep.
And we're going to come out what are you as hard as you can every time.
Okay. So far, since you've been here, has anybody give you like a comparison to anybody that you remind them of, former Duke players at all?
No, not yet, but somebody probably knows.
You know Daniel Ewing? You ever seen Daniel? I seen you've got the Daniel Ewing. That's what I see. Big guard, shoot, score, pass, play point, little swag to him. That's what I see. All right. We're looking forward to it.
I'm going to go check him out. Shouts to Daniel Ewing.
We'll see. Hopefully it turns out like that. I mean, Daniel was, ACC tournament MVP his sophomore year. I see a little bit of that in Caleb because I think it was Daniel like 6'4", 6'5". He was pretty big guard.
I think he was a little lankier though than like Caleb, right? Caleb seems to be a little bit more bulky.
Sure. Yeah, he is thick. Yeah.
A little thick, but.
Yeah, there's no perfect comp for Foster, but I feel like that's the closest one I've heard. Just that kind of score first, but could run point in a pinch. I'm not surprised that Caleb hasn't watched him because it's like he's probably not watching old Duke players outside like the.
Well, I'm sure Daniel would have been played when he was being born. Like what these kids were born in what like 04, 05? Is that right or is it 02? How old are these?
Yeah, kind of in that range, yeah.
Yeah, 18, so that's like, 06, right?
Oh, yeah. Dude, it really depends. Yeah, 05.
Ooh, yeah.
So that was that was Daniel's senior year.
Yeah,
so.
Senior year he was being born. So,
torch. But I bet you he's seen clips of like Jason Williams or something or like some of these, more prominent Duke guards.
I was kind of surprised just because Foster, at least from like their starting five that they gave, like him and McCain. Foster gave a pretty good all-time start.
He did,
five.
He grew up a Duke fan, so I kind of would have expected him to know. Yeah, his starting five wasn't like sometimes you see those players they give the starting five. It's like, oh, you don't know anybody from before 2014, do you?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. No offense to some of those starting fives, but when there's like there's like three or four one and dones on there, it's like come on.
I thought Foster and McCain's were actually both great.
Yeah, they both were really good.
And it also depends. Are we talking about like your total career, the sum of your career, or just your talent alone? You know,
right.
I think you put talent alone. Kyrie and Zion are definitely,
and Tatum. You do have three if you're only talking. Yeah. So
right. But if we're talking like Tatum at Duke, he was far from his best there,
right.
He was like he didn't even really play that well until about February, and then he really turned it on, but he's just ascended to a completely different level. I can understand picking Zion even at Duke, but like some of these other guys, it's like I think there's the perception of how good they were at Duke is colored by their NBA success.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. Well, I guess we'll transition from one of the younger guys on the roster to probably the oldest guy on the roster and hear what Mr. Ryan Young has to say here.
I figured this was a good way to close it out because Shu asked him about the podcast he's doing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Which, if you haven't listened to it, it's great. Yeah. So.
Ryan, man, you've been doing a great job with the podcast. We really loved and enjoyed listening to that. You plan on keeping that through the season, or are we just going to let that kind of die down now we got work to do?
I think we're trying to keep going through the season.
Okay.
It's something that can get really creative and interesting. It can be really fun for our fans to see what's going on. We'll see how we change it up. Like you said, it's something that we want to make sure, obviously, everything's a high priority, but it seems like our fans really appreciate the inside look, and it doesn't take too much time each week, so if we can keep on, it really seems to matter and be worth a lot to the fans.
As someone that does a podcast, man, for somebody that just started it, you're great at it.
Thank you, man. I appreciate
it. Really good at it. So.
It's easy to do it with the incredible creative team we have.
Sure, Dave and those
guys.
They're
top tier. They're unbelievable what they do.
And he has a great guest list too, right? But also shouts to Ryan Young for just doing a great job. Especially the sweater game has been really strong here lately too.
Oh yeah.
And to be able to have that, but you talked about being nervous in there in the locker room. I mean, he just interviewed the GOAT, right? And to be able to go through all of that. Big fan of that too.
And that's weird to think about because he didn't He doesn't have much of a relationship with Kate. I'm sure he's seen him around the program and stuff, but it's not like, you know, the episode with Shire on it or whatever. That's a guy he's interacted with for 2 years, or even interviewing a teammate.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, great stuff. Again, you know, before we get out of here, just kind of any final thoughts that you all had from just being able to have that level of exposure or interaction for the first time. Obviously, we're all lifelong fans. We're all Liz and Durham. So if I could ask a question to like the 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old version of you in, you know, 30 seconds or less, recap just that experience for us right quick.
I mean, if you would have told me 10-year-old me that I would get to do this, I would just tell you, like, let me go ahead and skip the next, you know, 25 years and get right to it. because 10-year-old me, as big of a fan as I was never able to get into Cameron. So
right.
I was like, I was probably almost 25 or almost 30 before the first game I actually seen in Cameron. So just to get to do all that, just an amazing experience. And once again, to Adam and John, appreciate letting us have that opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, I think like my big takeaway is just how different the experience was for me being up that close. You know, I've been to games at Cameron, but, you know, mostly it's like kind of high up there in the bleachers and all that. And like, you don't get a sense for just how intense the atmosphere is at court level. You know, this is CTC. It's not nothing like what an actual game would be in terms of intensity, but like, you know, whether you're watching on TV or even if you're just sitting in the stands, but you're like, you know, 20 rows back, it's just not the same experience that the players are having and more importantly, opponents. Yeah. So just kind of taking that all in, just it was kind of a reminder of how like special and unique a place Cameron really is. And I hope that Duke realizes that and never moves away from that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Josh and I sat, you know, in the student section,
Buffalo game.
Yeah. We're really close, and you can tell the like the physicality and the strength and the speed of it. So having that, you know, but the good thing about this one, Josh, is I actually got to sit down the whole time.
Yeah, that was nice. Yeah, we were on bleachers.
40-year-old me does not want to stand up, jumping on those bleachers for 2 hours.
True to that.
Yeah, those seats are tight, but like once you actually squeeze into them, they're actually pretty comfortable, I thought.
Yeah.
So, you know, cross that off the bucket list. Maybe next year we can get up in the crow's nest or something, right? And just have the full effect here.
So one thing I did want to mention about the game, I don't know, we didn't bring it up, but the free throw shooting, did you guys notice the box score? 3 of 11.
Yeah, it was not good. Yeah.
Yeah.
not very good. So for a team with shooters, you would think maybe that's just an anomaly, but just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't like some really good shooters missed a couple, right?
Yeah.
So
Ryan missed the front on one. I don't know how many Reeves shot. I saw him miss both. He has a really high arc, which is for a 7-1 guy, that's a tough shot. I mean, you got to be perfect on that. So, you know, maybe it was just a combination of who was taking some of the shots,
right.
But hopefully that transitions back the other way. But well, I guess we'll go ahead and kind of wrap up and get out of here. You know, again, shouts to John and Adam over at the Devil's Den for kind of hooking us up with that. A quick little look ahead here. Next week, me and Shu will be in Charlotte for ACC Media Day. So we'll kind of get to go through some of this stuff again with the players and coach. Then we'll probably come back in the next week or so and do our season preview with some predictions, some numbers games and all that good stuff to get ready for it. But, you know, tough loss last night for Duke football. So, again, you know, that's in there. We'll continue to track them as well. But, you know, in the meantime, rate, review, subscribe. You can email us at thedevilsdenpod@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter at thedevilsdenpod247. Check us out on the boards at thedevilsden.com. Find us up on YouTube. A lot of these videos and press conferences and player stuff will be over there on the YouTube page. And it's almost go time, folks. So, you know, keep those faces strong and the verve high. Happy Halloween. Go Duke.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.